Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
This book says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I was 11 years old, my parents invited the pastor to come over and visit with me and my sister. He sat down between me and Rebecca, and Brother Martin Spell began to share with me what we all must do to be saved. And he invited me at the end of that explanation if I wanted to pray and receive Christ as my Savior, to just put my hand in his, and I did. And then he invited me to pray the prayer that he was saying, but he said, "Don't just say my words, let it be your prayer, let it be your words from your heart," and I did. Since that time, I want to share with you that I wish I could say that every day since I was that spring in April, when I was 11 years old, that I have never stepped out of line, but my Heavenly Father has never rejected me, nor abandoned me, nor disowned me. And I continue to belong to Him to this day. And even this day, I can get out of line, and the Holy Spirit will draw me back in line and convict me of my sins so that I can walk, not so that I will be embarrassed before God, but so that I can be in a right relationship with God. Leading someone to Christ is second only to you being led to Christ. But I want to share with you that the greatest experience is to share your faith over and over and see people come to know Christ as Savior. And when you do, you will experience your own salvation over and over again as you see others come to Christ. Dan and I were at a retreat in Colorado a number of years ago, and it was a retreat for ministers from all different denominations. And a Methodist minister came up to me and asked me if I would lead his wife to the Lord. Now, that's a really unusual situation. I said, "You want me to tell her how to be saved?" He said, "Yes, would you do that?" I said, "Sure." So the four of us sat down, Dana and me and he and his wife, and I looked across at that young lady, and I shared with her just like my pastor shared with me. And I said, "If you would like to accept Christ as your Savior, you just reach out and put your hand in mine." And she did. And I said, "Now pray this prayer, but don't just repeat my words. Let it be your prayer." And she did. And then right there in the mountains of Colorado, we went out to this big hot tub. And I baptized that Methodist minister's wife there in the hot tub with everybody that was there at the retreat around. And it was a glorious moment. When Brother Cody shared with me that he would like to have a baptism there at Alta Frio, there in the river for those that accepted Christ as Savior there at the camp, he said, "We'll video it and we'll show it back at home. Would that be okay?" And I said, "Cody, if you'll go stand in the tabernacle, if that tabernacle is still there, and off to your and stand behind the pulpit, off to your left, down the hill, is a place in the Alta Frio where you can baptize." Because I remember being there during a youth camp that we had there a number of decades ago, and we had people who came to know Christ, and we baptized them there in the Alta Frio River. So that brought back some great memories. Brother Joe was in St. Louis for the Southern Baptist Convention. And so I've asked Brother Joe if he would join me out here this morning. And Brother Joe, you shared with us in staff meeting about an event that took place there a week before the Southern Baptist Convention about sharing your faith. And how about sharing with us some of those things?
Yeah, it's an event called Crossover. And so in the city that the Southern Baptist Convention takes place in each year, they get a whole bunch of seminary students and ministers and volunteers to come in the week before and partner with local churches. And we basically go out and do door-to-door evangelism that whole week before, partnering with those churches, kind of leading up to community outreach events. And so we were in the city of St. Louis, and that whole week before the Southern Baptist Convention, ended up sharing the gospel just over about 5,000 different people, and saw 556 people come to know the Lord that week.
Oh, wow. Now, this is in St. Louis, where just a little over a year ago, they had all the difficulties going on. And so y'all went in there.
The third sweatiest city in the United States.
Houston's got to be the sweatiest.
I don't know. I feel like it. But yes, in St. Louis. And so we were in East St. Louis, South St. Louis, Northwest. We were over, across the river in Illinois. Every part of the city that they could find churches that would partner with us.
So y'all just went out. Did you have the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord?
I did. I had the opportunity to lead three different people to Christ throughout that week.
Well, tell us about that.
I met two young men. They were both brothers in a place called Granite City, Illinois, which is actually right across the river. And we were in downtown Granite City, and we were just kind of talking with people. And so I came across these two guys, me and my team, and I just said, "Hey, guys, we're out talking to people about Jesus." I said, "Who's Jesus to you?" So we just started talking. And so I asked them, I said, if you died today, how sure would you be that you would go to heaven? And the older brother, who's probably about 17, said, "I'm probably about 70% sure." And so I looked at his younger brother, since I am a younger brother, and I said, "Well, what about you, man?" I said, are you more sure than your older brother? And he said, "Yeah, I'm like 80% sure." And I was like, "That's obviously a younger brother," I answer. And so I asked him, I said, "Well, what do you think gets you into heaven?" And they gave the response that I heard so many times, which was, "Well, I think living the right life, living a perfect life." And so we just started talking about, well, what does that mean to live a perfect life? And are we even able to live a perfect life? And started sharing with them scriptures like Romans 6:23. You know, that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I asked them the question, I said, "Guys," I said, "has anyone ever talked with you about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus?" And these two teenage guys in Granite City, Illinois, said no, that no one had ever explained to them what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. And that blew my mind, that in America, they could not know. And so we talked through that. And after we had talked and looked at some different scriptures, I said, "Guys, you understand everything we've talked about?" And I said, "Is that something that you want to do? Do you want to ask Jesus to be your Savior, to accept Him as your Savior today?" And man, both those guys said yes. Actually, just as their mom was walking up, they lived in a homeless shelter there in town. And I mean, I got to lead them to the Lord, and just, it was an awesome time.
Joe, not every time we share our faith are we going to be, are they going to be as receptive to that? You shared something with me between services this morning about just walking around your neighborhood. And why don't you share that experience with us?
Yeah, so I'm in the process of going around our neighborhood and kind of prayer walking and getting ready to do the same thing, go door to door in our neighborhood in Legends Bay. And I was out prayer walking yesterday, and I found somebody's paycheck, like in a crack in the concrete. And I thought, hey, this is a fantastic chance to go meet someone at their house and just talk to them. And I was like, they'll be happy that I found their paycheck, right? So I go and I knock on their door, and they're thrilled that I found their paycheck. It's kind of wet from the morning dew, but so they're super happy to see me. I'm like, "Hey, my name's Joe. I live over on Flamingo Bay Circle." And then I said, "And I'm out today just kind of praying for the neighborhood and for all the houses on every street." And their face just changed. And I said, "Is there anything that I can pray for you about? Is there anything that's just on your heart?" And man, I'm telling you, they got unhappy real quick that I was around. And so all of a sudden, they were like, no, I'm fine. Everything's good. Door closed real fast. And just sometimes you get a chance to share the gospel. Sometimes you don't. But my professor of seminary always used to say this. He said, if you don't throw the bait out, if you're not fishing, then you'll never catch anything. And so if we're not out trying and we're not out sharing the gospel, then we'll never be able to lead anybody to Christ.
You know, sharing your faith and having the opportunity to share your faith and seeing someone come to know Christ. You know, have you ever done something like that? Yes, sir.
Pastor, I had the opportunity a number of years ago with Jackie Bird. Jackie Bird's a good friend of mine. He's now with the Lord. We went out to visit a guy by the name of Bob, and we got to share with Bob, and it was a great, wonderful experience. And out of that, his wife Judy asked if we would mind praying for Rayleigh, her granddaughter, for her salvation. And so we started praying for Rayleigh, and this has been a number of years ago, but I got to lead Rayleigh to the Lord this year and baptize her, and that was just really exciting for that.
All right.
Another experience.
Oh, you got another one?
I got a couple.
Go ahead.
On Tuesday mornings, Chuck Sager and I go down to the old Finley's, I think it's Sam's number 2-3 or whatever, on 565 at 5 in the morning, and we sit there, and I have a little sign that says, prayer request taken, and there's a gal that comes in there all the time, and she finally came up to us and said, would you mind praying for me? I'm losing my job. And so Chuck and I prayed for Cindy, and we didn't see her for over a year. And she came back in, and Chuck happened not to be there this Tuesday morning, and she came in and wanted to thank us for praying because God delivered her job. And I said, you believe God did it? And she said, yes. And so I had the opportunity to share the gospel with her, and she accepted Jesus Christ at that bench.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And
isn't that great?
Really
one
more story. When Christy was about 6, Jack played soccer with her on the same team, and Jack's mom would come and bring Jack to soccer practice, and she knew that I was a youth minister, and so she came up to me and said, Ronnie, would you mind praying for my husband, Dave? He's a good husband. He's a great provider. He loves his family. He's here with the kids and this and that and whatever, but he's lost. Now, she's Catholic, and so she's coming to me, a Baptist youth minister, to pray, and I said I'd pray. Dave came to the game, and I had an opportunity to ask Dave this question. Dave, if you were to die today and stand before God, and God said to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What do you think you would say? And Dave just kind of looked at me, and I went on and shared the plan of salvation with him, and he just wasn't interested at that time. He got back in his Jaguar and left. And he was a very, very successful young businessman. And 7 years later, I received a phone call. Ronnie, this is Dave. I was wondering if you'd baptize me. And I said, well, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, I have. And prayer works, folks. Just pray, and God will honor prayers.
Amen. Well, have a seat here, Ronnie. Have a seat. Okay. All right.
Can I share? I guess so.
Since okay. I'm not going to preach today, I guess.
All right. Well, many of you know that we went to camp this past week, and it was just an incredible, incredible time. It was a small camp. We only did our church this year, and that really opened the door for a lot of conversation, a lot of one-on-one time with our own students, a lot of discipleship. So what happened is every night the preacher, a man named Casey Benson, would share and present how to accept Christ. And he would ask all those that wanted to accept Christ to stand, and so they would stand, and he'd lead them through a prayer, and they would receive Christ at the end of the service. And then we got to go out and kind of talk to the ones that stood about being saved, and so we were able to share with them kind of the plan of salvation and what it means to be forgiven of your sin and what Jesus did on the cross and things like that. So also, the ones that did accept Christ, we were able to sit down with and explained baptism and what it means to be baptized. So about the last night, there was a young man, a guy named Cash, who was saved earlier in the week, who accepted Christ. And I didn't get a chance to talk to him about baptism. And so I pulled him aside, and I was talking to him about baptism so he understood before he was dunked in the river. And while I was talking to him, a young man named Xavier, who's right over here this morning with his mother, was standing there too and listening in on everything. And I'd been watching Xavier all week and really got to see all the students just be captivated by Jesus. And so after I was done with Cash, Xavier was there, and I looked at Xavier and said, "Hey, do you need to talk?" And so he said, "Yeah, I want to be baptized." And so we sat down, and I said, "Xavier, have you been saved? Have you accepted Christ into your life?" And he kind of looked at me and said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, explain that to me." "Well, I believe in Jesus. When I came here with my mother a few years ago, that's when I started to believe." And so I said, "Xavier, it's not just believing in Jesus that saves. The Bible says even demons believe in Jesus. You have to receive him into your life. Has there been a time where you asked God and received him into your life to be your Lord and Savior?" And he said, "No, I haven't." And so it was just incredible. I had about an hour in between the worship service and our next thing. So Xavier and I got to sit down and walk through everything. He got to ask me questions, and he's at one point he said, "Cody, I just want to see Jesus. I just want to see Jesus." And I said, "Man, you're going to be able to." And we got to pray, and he received Christ that night. And that was just an amazing experience. So I just want to say thank you for your prayers for that week, because God really did move. And I believe it's because of the prayers of this church and support of our church and just the movement of the Holy Spirit there. And so thank you so much for your prayer and support.
Amen. Amen. Amanda, you got a story?
It looks like there's room on the stage. Yes, and children's ministry is a little different. It's a little bit more unique. We like to keep things simple, and we use the ABCs, admit, believe, confess, which I'm sure most of you have already been familiar with, and you probably teach that to your children. As a parent, the most important thing next to the Lord is your children. There is no greater joy than seeing your children baptized. Years ago, we do a camp called Camp Zacchaeus here, kindergarten through third grade, and a little girl came to me, and she had lots of questions. And I sat down with her, and we prayed, and I told her what it meant to become a Christian, what it meant to have a relationship with the Lord. And I called her family after that. I called grandparents. She came every week with her grandparents. She wasn't coming with her parents so much. But for some reason, she just never did get... We never did follow up with baptism. And so 2 years later, she was older, and she was in an after-school Bible study program called Kids Beach Club that we were doing for a little while. And we got all of our teams assigned to us, and lo and behold, the one child that was assigned to me was the same little girl who had already led to the Lord. And after 3 weeks of Beach Club, she had questions again. And we went out into the hallway at the gymnasium at the school, and we sat down and we prayed. And we did the same simple ABC: accept, know who your Savior is, believe, confess your sins, confess there's no other way to heaven except for through Jesus. And we sat down and we did that. And it wasn't long after that we actually did follow up a baptism here at the church. And since then, she was coming with her grandparents, but since then I see her parents here. And the great joy is we had baptism a while ago, and I went up to go give some wet hugs to the little Wilkes girls. Can't break into the boys' side, but the girls' side I can. And I opened the door to go give hugs, and what a great reminder is Emily Dunlap was up there with her Nana, and she was the first hug that greeted me. So not only has she been baptized and she's followed through at baptism, but now she's serving the Lord and she's finding a place to serve, handing out towels in the baptistry. And I just think that that's a neat thing to see God work in the children's ministry.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30. This is Davin Eastman. Davin is new on staff with us here at Old River. He's an associate to Brother Cody, and Davin is in charge of our middle school ministry. So, you got a word?
Did I interrupt?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, new kid on the block, got to do those things, I guess. Like Cody said, the preacher that was there this past week at River Week, he was fantastic about presenting the gospel. And something I want to share is I had an opportunity when some students would walk back to take them aside and speak with them about Jesus. And in particular, I got to speak to Michael Crump. I don't know if he's in here right now. But we got to walk through the plan of salvation. And I got to say, man, God created us perfectly. God created us perfectly because that's true. That's Genesis 1. And then I got to say, the sad part is we messed up. And we literally spit in God's face, and we fell, and we entered sin into this world. But the cool thing was God didn't stop pursuing us. He never stopped pursuing us through some family lines. He leads to King David, and from King David comes Mary, and from Mary comes Jesus Christ, who then lived a perfect life that we could not live. And when he died and he shed his blood on the cross for us and then beat the grave 3 days later, he said, all these people who believe in me, they're with me. They're with me. And then it doesn't stop there. I got to then talk to him about accountability, and we now have accountability text message that we're going to start this week, and I'm really excited about it because he realized he had been apathetic with his faith, and he wasn't taking his faith seriously, and he was just kind of relaxing and just kind of moseying through the life without advancing the gospel and talking to his friends and openly getting in the word of God. And then I got to share with him, man, the coolest part is the fact that Ephesians 1, verse 13 says this: when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And that should be so great for us Christians, because what that says is that they wrote letters back and forth to each other, and it said they took a wax stamp and they stamped the letter, and it said property of whomever was writing the letter. And then they would send it to people. And what Paul's saying in this passage is, when you are saved, when you heard the gospel of truth, and when you accepted salvation, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, saying, I am a child of God. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing you can do. And I was telling these students, there's nothing you can do. There's no bad things that you could think. There's no bad things that you could do. There's no matter how far you run away from him, there's nothing that you can do where your salvation can be taken away from you. Jude 1 says that God will keep us. He will keep us close to him. And that's so great, and that's so convicting for me, because I'm just like everyone else. I mess up. We all mess up. But God's word says that he will keep us, and he will keep us till the end, and he will raise us up, and we'll be seated with God. And that's so great, and it was so awesome being able to lead the students through that this past week.
Amen. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. Yeah, we'd rather hear what you have to say than what the Bible has to say. Come on, Zach.
I don't know if I'd go that far. So I got to run sound and do all the media and work a lot with skits and putting on stuff at River Week this week. So I wasn't able to get in deep a lot with the little groups that the kids had, like the family groups and the D teams that we had. But I was able to talk a little bit with some of the students afterwards that either needed prayer or were making decisions, anything like that. And so I had we had actually a few students that were really struggling to realize that, like, if they were saved, if they weren't, they had made this decision a long time ago, but then they felt like they were going through like a valley and just like a roller coaster of emotion and just waves of different trials and times through their life. And so they didn't know if they needed to be saved again or what they needed to do. And so I kind of asked these kids, you know, well, have you accepted Christ into your life? And they said, yes. And I said, do you receive him? Do you believe that? And they said, yes. Okay. And so I said, well, when did you do this? And they would give me a time. And I said, mark that. That is your time. And that is the day that you accepted Christ, and he's never going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He'll always be with you. and he'll be there for you for the rest of your days. And I encourage them, and this is something that I want to encourage some of you that may struggle with this, maybe like you come from like a legalistic type background, and you feel like if you're, every time you sin, you just have to keep going and getting saved again. That's totally not true and not biblical, because Christ died for you, and he died for your sins, and it's that's never going away if you accept him and believe in him. So I just encourage the kids to get a piece of paper or something and write down whenever they got saved, and write about their experience and their testimony, just so if they ever have any doubts, they can pick up their Bible, they can look at this paper, and they can say, yes, this shows that I am saved, and I know that I have Christ in my heart. And he's never going away. So that's something that I just want to encourage y'all to do if you do struggle with something like that. But so it was just a great week, and God moved so much, and I'm just really happy that he chose me to be a part of it. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
To Honduras with the seniors on our mission trip, and it was really awesome. It was one of the coolest experiences of my life. But so what we would do while we were there is we would go to schools and put on a gospel presentation with like a skit, just like explaining how we're all sinners, but that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to come and rescue us from our sin. And at one particular school, after the skit was over, Cody asked all of the kids if any of them wanted to accept Jesus as their Savior, and a bunch of them raised their hands. It was so cool. And so us students got to take a group of kids, and I had a pretty large size group of about 8 girls. I just got to sit with them and like kind of go over the skit a little bit more in depth, just to make sure that like they understood like what they were doing and stuff like that. And then I got to lead them in a salvation prayer, and it's a lot less about what I did and a lot more about what God did in their hearts, because life's a lot different for them over there, and they don't speak the same language that I do, but the love of Jesus doesn't have a language barrier, so I know that he moved in their hearts, and that was just, it was a really cool thing to be part of.
I've wanted to share on Kelsey, too. That same trip, well, she didn't share this one, but that same trip, we were going around door to door, just basically talking to people that were in their houses and sitting on their porch. And there was two women that were sitting on the porch, and she went up and started asking, you know, if she could share, you know, her story. And she shared it with them, and then asked them if they wanted to accept Christ, and they said yes. And she goes, "Really? Okay." And she led them through the prayer of salvation and told them what it means to be saved, and they accepted Christ that day. And that was pretty awesome.
In case you've missed it, you've been set up this morning. Because we want you to know that our vision and our mission here at Old River is to empty hell and to fill up heaven. Our mission is to be a church that you can come to and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that will save anyone from their sin. The Bible says in Proverbs, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. He just took me under his wing whenever I came here. And we became great friends. He was quite a bit older than me, but he taught me so much. As much as I loved to hunt and fish and did that whenever I was growing up, there was a lot about down here on the coast that we didn't know anything about up in Northeast Texas. And so Bert and I became great friends, but Bert did not know the Lord as his Savior. And I would witness to Bert, and I would share with Bert about Christ, and he would just keep pushing it away and pushing it away. And one day, I looked up, and there he was in church. And he kept coming with his wife, Edith, who had always been faithful to the church. And then I went over to Hardin, Texas, to Hardin Baptist Church, and was preaching a revival. And there one evening when I stood up to preach, I looked out there, and just about halfway back, there Bert sat with his wife there at the revival. And he looked at me and just kind of gave me a little wave. And I preached. I gave the invitation. The pastor came forward, and I went over and stood at the front pew and bowed my head in prayer. And then I just sensed that somebody was standing in front of me. And I opened my eyes, and there was Bert. And he said, "Okay, boy, tell me how it's done." And I had the privilege of leading him to Christ and going into the baptismal waters with him. Now, I don't need to go into everything there is to say about how to become a Christian. If you're here today, you know that the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for the sin of the whole world. And you know that every one of us are sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin eternally separates us from God. And the Bible teaches us, but Jesus, the gift of God is eternal life through him. And there are some of you in here today that do not know Christ as Savior. You've come so close, and you're thinking, well, I'm better than I used to be, but the Bible teaches us that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, nor good people better, but he came to seek and save those who are lost. And all of us fall into that category. And so I want to invite you to stand and bow in prayer right now.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.